Lord, teach us to pray. Sermon based on Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. When I consider my own prayer life, or prayers I've heard said by others, and the many conversations I've had about prayer, I've realized that many times we think of prayer as sort of a divine vending machine. Think about how a vending machine works. You put in money, make a selection, and receive what you want. Kind of like prayer. Ask and you shall receive. That's what Jesus said, right? We put in the coins of our wants and our needs, our faith, good behavior. We tell God what we want and we hope to get what we asked for. And all of that works just fine until it doesn't. Vending machines are great until they take your money but nothing drops down. Or when you press the button for a Dr. Pepper and out comes Diet Peach Iced Tea. It can be frustrating. We push the button again and again. We slide in more coins. We walk away wishing we hadn't wasted our time. It's not so different with prayer, is it? Some people get angry. Some feel hurt or betrayed by God. Some lose faith and even leave the church. I don't confess to know exactly how prayer works, but I know this. It is not a vending machine. It's not a mechanical transaction between us and God. What is prayer? Well, on this side of heaven, I won't be able to quite explain it. But from our limited perspective, perhaps the best we can do is to repeat the words of the unnamed disciple in our lesson, who simply said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus' response in Luke 11 is not an explanation of how prayer works. He doesn't offer a formula or magic words. He doesn't tell us 5 easy steps to a better prayer life. He doesn't give us the correct change for the vending machine. Instead, Jesus talks about who God is and encourages us to pray on the basis of our relationship with Him. We read, "On another occasion, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray,' just as John also taught his disciples. He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.'" Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer here in Luke 11, inviting his followers to call him God in heaven, inviting his followers to call God in heaven Abba or Father. This is an incredible reality. Before we even begin to pray, we should just take a moment to gasp in astonishment. We are called children of God. That's our relationship with him. Through faith, sinful, mortal humans, we have become children of the Almighty God, the Immortal One, the King of heaven and earth. We are His kids. That's how Jesus begins His teaching. Prayer is about our relationship with God. We call on a Father who loves us, and the petitions of the Lord's Prayer all center around that relationship. If God is our Father, then we want to protect His reputation and hallow His name. If God is our Father, that means that our life, our existence, all we need to live comes from Him. Jesus calls that our daily bread. Then there are these lines about forgiveness, ours and others. Again, that's about a grace-based relationship with God, which then flows to others. We forgive as we have been forgiven. And finally, as any father would, we ask that He continues to protect His children and deliver us from evil. The relationship, note this, is the basis for every petition of the prayer. The Lord's Prayer isn't a vending machine prayer. It focuses on who God is and what He has already promised to do for us. Next, Jesus illustrates our relationship to God with a parable. He said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and tell him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine who is on a journey has come to me, and I do not have anything to set before him.'" This sounds ridiculous to us, but this wasn't an uncommon occurrence for the people in Jesus' time. People traveled primarily by walking at night to get out of the extreme heat of the day. They also had no phones to tell people when they were going to arrive. So it wasn't a crazy thought to have someone arrive very late, unannounced, in the night. Obviously, it would be too late to start baking bread, and so you'd have to get it from someone else, like a friend. Also, remember that hospitality was a huge priority in this culture. It was not wrong of this man to wake up his friend. He had an obligation to be a good host. Jesus continues, "And the one inside replies, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give it to you.' I tell you, even if he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his bold persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." So even if the man wouldn't give you the bread because he's your friend, he would get up and hand you some bread so that you stop knocking and he can get his kids back to bed. As a parent with young children, this certainly resonates with me. I would let them take the entire fridge as long as they stop knocking on the door. Jesus applies this parable, this really interesting parable, to prayer in verses 9 and 10. He says, "I tell you, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened." Why does Jesus compare answered prayer to a friend who is unwilling to get out of bed for the sake of friendship, but willing to get out of bed to stop the knocking sound on his door? Is it to say that God is tired or irritable or stingy? That can't be, because our Father is so ready and able to give. And we can even read that in verse 13. Then what's the reason for this persistent prayer, for this parable? I think it is simply a striking way of saying that while God has his reasons for waiting, in the end, persistent prayer will be rewarded where giving up won't. If the friend had gone home after the first refusal, he would not have gotten the bread he needed. But since he stayed and kept on knocking, he got as much as he needed. And the point for you and me? Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. This is a relationship, not a vending machine. Right? If a vending machine doesn't give you what you selected the first time, you're wasting your money if you try again and again. It's broken. But God, your Father, is not a vending machine. And in his wisdom, he will delay with good purpose in order to see you prevail in faith through persistent prayer. God has blessings in mind, even if it seems for all the world that he's not answering. But it's that perception of unanswered prayer, that resounding silence from God, which is so difficult to understand or to accept. You know, I know that prayers are often answered, but that's not when people come talk to me. No one ever says, "Pastor, why did I receive exactly what I asked for?" You know, people want to know why they asked but did not receive, why they searched but did not find, why they knocked over and over but the door never opened. And we all do. A friend told me how he prayed hard one night as he drove his wife to the hospital. They prayed with words, they prayed in tears, they prayed in silence. And with each mile, their prayer became more desperate. Right? They put in more coins, they pushed the button again and again. "Please, Father, if it is possible," they prayed over and over. But when they got to the hospital that night, the baby was dead. Everyone who asks receives. That wasn't their story. It's not always mine either. I don't know why God chooses to do what he does. He's God, I'm not. I don't have any good answers or perfect explanations, but I have heard some bad ones. They sound like this: "You don't have enough faith. Oh, you just didn't pray hard enough. You were just asking for the wrong thing." These explanations do nothing but bolster a vending machine understanding of prayer. they're wrong. And we've got to let that picture go because it's wrong. Prayer is not about asking God for something and receiving it when you want it. That understanding of prayer is incorrect. It hurts people and it misrepresents who God is and how he relates to us. When I hear those kinds of answers and explanations, I can't help but remember another man praying desperately at night. He prayed with words and with sweat that dripped like blood. "Please, Father, if it is possible," he said over and over again. And you know what? They crucified him the next day. God said no to Jesus. Prayer is not a vending machine. God said no to Jesus, not because he wasn't praying hard enough, not because he didn't have enough faith or he was asking for the wrong thing. No, God said no to Jesus so he would be able to say yes to us. God said no to Jesus so that he would climb up on a cross and lay his life down, so that he would die, shed his blood to forgive our sin, so that we could be called children of God. My friends, our Father has good reasons when he doesn't say yes to a prayer. And remember, even though Jesus' request was denied, God did send an angel to strengthen him that night. We never know what blessings come through persistent prayer. The truth is that Jesus didn't say that the one who asks will receive the answer that they want. He didn't say that the one who seeks will find exactly what they set out to find. The words here are purposefully ambiguous. He says, "Everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened." The answer might not be what we expect. We may struggle and strain. We may pray repeatedly with no sign of response. But in all this, we will receive. We will find something. A door will be opened, and the one who opens it will be our Father. This is the comfort we have when we pray based on our relationship with God. No matter the answer, he is our loving Father in heaven. Listen to the last verses of our text today. Jesus says, "What father among you, if your son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, would give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil," and evil here meaning sinful, not that we are, you know, deceptive and mean to our children. He says, "If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Parents, have you always given your children exactly what they wanted? I hope not. I can't imagine where I'd be today if my parents let me have whatever I wanted. Or perhaps worse, if God had said yes to all my foolish prayers. No, earthly parents know what to give their children. And this is infinitely true of our Heavenly Father. If we knew all that he did, we would understand. We would know why he delays. We would understand why it is best that we do not receive what we ask for in that moment. And one day in heaven, we will know. But until then, we trust that our Heavenly Father gives good gifts to his children. And finally, did you catch what Jesus said there at the end? It was incredibly important. He said, "How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You know, perhaps the greatest issue with our prayers is that sometimes we don't want God. We want something from him. We want God to change our circumstances. And while God can and sometimes does change circumstances, I am increasingly convinced that more often than not, he changes us through our relationship with him. The truth is, if prayer, as Jesus teaches it, is all about a relationship with our Father, then the best answer to every prayer must be God. He himself is the greatest gift. When our Father sends the Holy Spirit, he is giving us the best answer we could ever imagine. Because the Holy Spirit is God living and working in our hearts. He is the one who has created faith and enables us to grow in faith. He helps us to better hold on to the promises of the Word and grasp the forgiveness of our Savior Jesus. He helps us trust that our Heavenly Father is good and kind. My friends, pray for the best gift of all. Pray for the Holy Spirit. His strength will empower you to remain strong. His patience will enable you to endure the circumstances of life. His love will give you joy, even in sorrow. His salvation will give you peace, even in the face of death. So, whether in joy and gratitude or in times of pain and loss, we pray with the certainty of receiving what is good from our Father. And we pray persistently, knowing that we may not receive exactly what we ask for, but God will bless us. No matter the answer, let us trust that His grace is sufficient, that He Himself is more than enough. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen.